Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, supervillains of all ages, I am your host, and I want to welcome you to the Villains Lounge. I am the Three Counts resident supervillain. I am the Dark Lord. I am the Dark Goat himself, Damien Fatale. And with me, I got Twitch Graves, and I know it's been a few days, but, you know, real life happens, and there really wasn't much news. Lots of wrestling, but nothing super newsworthy. So what I got for you today is actually there's only like one, maybe two of these stories that are like really interesting. The other ones are just kind of fluff pieces. So I guess I'm gonna start off with something a little bit more happy-ish and not so Dirty Dom got married to his childhood sweetheart of 10 years, and I have to say that the wedding guests rocked because they kept K-Fab alive, and when he picked up the mic, he got booed by everyone.
That's amazing.
It was great.
That's so amazing.
It was great. I was like, dang.
You got booed at your own wedding.
Booed at your own wedding. Like, you're such a heel. You got booed at your own wedding. It's great.
I love it.
All right, so the last three are all AEW related.
Of course.
I'm going to give the two negatives, or maybe I'll give the negative, the positive, the negative. All right, so Kara Hogan was on like either Instagram Live or TikTok, one of those two, and she was talking about the boss, Mercedes Moné, and you know, her going to AEW. And basically, she was throwing shade, basically saying that Mercedes is not a nice person, that she is just not a good person. Very mean, not nice, backstage, I guess, full of herself, blah, blah, blah. Just basically talking that, you know, talking that big girl shit. Now, the question is, is it real, or is it just her way of getting in on the ground floor to be like maybe the first person that Mercedes like jumps in there with? Real, or it could be, you know, just trying to get a story in. So the next one I'm going to talk about is Kazuchika Okada's contract, which is massive, a massive contract for AEW. It's for 3 years, $4.5 million a year, with a total of 13.5 for the 3 years, which equates to 2 billion yen.
That's insane.
In Japanese money. And he's moving to the States.
That's so
for that 3 years. So I knew he was going to get like a ridiculous amount of money.
Come so on. Did I.
Come on. And then the last thing I got from AEW news, Kevin Kelly gets fired by AEW. It started in some tweets. You know, him like tweeting out, I can't remember what he tweeted out, but he tweeted out something because a fan was basically saying, yeah, you know, like, you're awesome, love you, blah, blah, blah. And then he could have ended it right there, but then he kept on going and, like, basically said that Rick Abani sabotaged his career in AEW talking shit behind his back. And it seemed like AEW wasn't too happy with Kevin Kelly's, like, performance. They were saying it was, like, subpar at best. But he, you know, basically Kelly was like, everybody in the back like knows that I'm the greatest. Everybody in the world knows I'm the greatest, but AEW management. And when a fan was like, you might want to take this down, he was like, why should I take down the truth? And then a few hours later, guess who got taken off the website and told that they were fired?
Mr. Kevin Kelly.
So, and then like Tony Schiavone replaced him on Collision because, you know, he was supposed to be on Collision with Nigel. So, yeah. My thing is this, though. Why did his social media stuff get him in trouble and Jericho's didn't?
Because it's Chris Jericho?
Christopher needs to go home. So that ends the news. So we're going to jump into the reviews. So the first review I got for you is NXT Roadblock.
All right.
This show was basically set up for, you know, Stand and Deliver. What we got out of it was... It started off with a crazy-ass Asylum match, and it was Dijak versus crazy-ass Joe Gacy. The match was nuts, dude. They were just hitting each other with any and everything that you could possibly... Watching them sometimes is uncomfortable.
There are times.
Like, they are... It's great. I am loving this feud. Dijak gets the W again, but it seems like even though Gacy's taking these L's, he's not taking the L though. It's almost like Dijak is the one that's really taking the L's. It's great.
This is the epitome of two guys who just woke up and chose violence.
Right. Like they might have been dreaming about violence before they woke up.
Exactly. Like it was wild.
So I gave that one 2.5 axe handles. It was nuts because I'm not really big on hardcore matches, but they did a good job. They did a good job.
I love violence.
So next, then we got the NXT Tag Team Championships. Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin, the champions, defending their titles against Chase U. And I almost thought Chase U might have get that W, but in the end, it was Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin successfully defending. Probably setting up something a little bit more long term. They probably will drop him at Stand and Deliver, so they
more than likely can,
go do his thing, and Baron can go do his thing. I gave this one 2.5 as well.
I agree with that.
Then we got the debut of Mr. Jonathan Spears. Sean Spears, the chairman, makes his debut. I kind of like the new music in the entrance, actually. I cannot pronounce his opponent's first name. So Connors was his opponent. It must be a new guy. It's not the Connors that I know. And, you know, it just kind of like is what it is. And Sean Spears got the W, an easy W. And I gave that one like 1.5. And look who decides to show up.
Hey!
Yeah, we're almost done. No, I'm joking. We're not that.
Good.
We just started.
I came just in time.
I missed it all.
I hate them so much.
Oh, that's the best time to show up when all the hard work is done.
We're doing your part. We're in the middle of NXT.
Great show.
Sean Spears and... Okay, how do you pronounce that guy's first name?
Oh, God. Who do you wrestle? Who do you wrestle?
Last name is Connors.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, he got a weird, weird...
I can't think of the guy's name.
It starts with a U. It's spelled awkwardly.
I know who you're talking about now. I don't know. This was his first appearance, so I don't have the name down. I don't have the name down yet.
We're not going to.
But that's Finley's younger son.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird ass first name.
Yeah. do it the villain's lounge.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Go on and interrupt the whole show.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, Corey,
it's so good to see you.
Yeah,
I told Damien I was going to say this when I see you. You're not intimidating anymore, only because I'm at a safe distance.
Corey said you're not intimidating anymore because only because he's at a safe distance.
Hey, I'm not editing that out. That's staying.
I don't care.
All right, so moving on. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. My girls, the Kabuki Warriors, defended against Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley.
Paxley.
It's an X, not an S. Oh, I can't read my own handwriting. All right, I need to switch. We already know who was going to win this match. I don't care what nobody says.
Oh, you didn't think they had a fighting chance?
Nah. Do you know who they were facing?
You're right. Those Kabuki those Warriors ladies ain't nobody to fuck dangerous. With.
Exactly. They're dangerous.
Yeah, they are.
So the Kabuki Warriors pick up that W. Valkyria and Paxley did try. It wasn't a bad match. I'm going to definitely give it 2. It was fun. It was a fun match. They tried hard.
They did.
We get another women's match. We get Fallon Henley versus Blair Davenport, which Davenport's starting to grow on me a little bit more. Really enjoying her work, but she fell short. Henley gets the W. Yeah, we get these ladies 2.
Thanks to the assist from Sol Ruka. Don't forget.
Yeah, that did. It did happen. I was expecting Blair to win that one. Like, I thought that was gonna be an easy W for him.
I did too. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I was like, ooh. Shit. Then we got the main event. Tony D'Angelo versus Carmelo Hayes, and I'm happy D'Angelo won. Because this will make the main event a little bit more exciting, and you get somebody new in the main event picture.
Yeah.
That could be a dark horse and walk out as the new NXT champion very easily. Like Tony D
could
definitely pull this off. If they're not careful. If they are not careful, I think Tony D could walk out of Stand and Deliver as the new NXT champion.
He very well could.
I mean, think about it. All of the negativity and the rah-rah-rahness is between Hayes and Dragunov. So Tony D can easily slip in there and grab that W.
He could.
Great match. 3 stars. You definitely need to go check it out. Tony D definitely showed that he has gotten better. Like, so much better. So that ends NXT. So I guess we're gonna go on to the show that barely matters. And I heard that the ratings weren't that great considering what happened. So we're gonna run through this bullshit. And no, I kind of watched it. I watched one match and the video of the other bullshit at the end. So I guess, was it at the end? Was it in the middle? Was that the last thing that happened? Yeah, I don't care. And the last thing I talk about. So anyway, Dynamite from the 6 of why do I have a 2 there? Wow, I am behind.
Oh no.
So anyway, it started off with Swerve Strickland and Samoa Joe versus the Kingdom. Strickland and Joe got the W, and if they didn't, Tony needs to stop snorting. Hook versus
Tony Ryan will never stop snorting.
Never.
Hook versus Brian Cage. On paper, Hook should have lost.
How competitive was that match? I'm just curious.
I think Hook kept on trying to hook the red rum pretty much the whole. It was like an extension from Revolution. Just kept basically trying to hook the red rum, and I think that's how he won, actually.
He choked him out.
I think he choked out fucking Brian Cage.
Can we get a picture of that? Did somebody find a picture of that? I need to see the picture.
What an interesting decision.
I think that's how he won.
Are you kidding me?
I mean,
I get it. That's his finisher, but...
That's got to look so awkward.
That's what I was like. I need to see a picture of it. Like, what did that look like?
I'm going to see if I can find it.
Well, They're the same height, so I guess it might not look as crazy. Because Brian Cage isn't that tall. Cage isn't tall.
Like, no, but he's, right. Cage he's just thick. You're right.
Yeah, he's just thick. So, but it's just funny because he's just a gigantic human, and Hook is
Hook
a stick.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny.
I'm gonna have to go on YouTube and watch the clip. I'm just interested. I gotta see that. That sounds hilarious.
Oh, it is hilarious. Killswitch versus Daddy Magic. If Daddy Magic had won this, I probably would have cried. So Killswitch comes away with the W. Ah, look, it's your favorite person in the world, Riho.
Oh.
She beat Chris Statlander.
What an interesting decision.
I only watched the last match, and I can only rate the last match. It was Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher. It was actually really fucking good. It was like literally the only thing I watched on the whole entire show. It's really good. I give it 3 axe handles. That's as good as it's going to get. I take a half point off because it was Dynamite. And I didn't like the new logo and the new entrance.
You didn't like the new logo, the new entrance,
and the new song.
Half a point off. Oh, you didn't like the new song? The song's not bad. Man, it's not as catchy as the old one, but I think in general it's a better song.
It probably is. I just didn't like the logo. Was really what bothered me. It was like, dude, did your like 3-year-old nephew make that?
Possible.
And then we got Corporate Okada coming out to save Eddie Kingston. Woo! Which I didn't understand why they were out there talking to the Bucks anyway. That was just fucking stupid. But anyway, it looks like he was coming out to save I forgot his name already again. Eddie Kingston. Woo! Gave him the Rainmaker and joined the Elite after they kicked out Kenny for not showing up to work. Oh, I can't hear you for some reason. It's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing we can't hear him.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Can he hear us?
I don't know.
Nope.
No, he might be able to hear us. So that's what Okada joins the Elite. God. The Bucks fire Hangman and the other guy. Kenny.
The other guy, Kenny.
Hey, look, they saying Kenny's not showing up to work, dude. What can you do? If he's not showing up to work, he ain't showing up to work.
I mean,
you gotta let him go. Now, but is it kind of weird that he's suffering from a serious debilitating
is he back?
Illness?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
All right. No, all I said was, to quote Corey, was what an interesting decision. Having Okada team up with the Bucks.
I think my favorite part of that is the reason why they fired Kenny. That's like about the only thing I think I'll ever like what they did. Them firing Kenny Omega for not showing up to work and being lazy. Like, this man's like, could have died. He's like out with an illness, not even an injury.
Nope, too bad. Apparently, in death, you are AEW for life and you need to show up for work.
I see that. So that ended, or possibly ended. I don't know what ended Dynamite. I don't care.
So, I'm fairly certain that ended Dynamite.
Maybe. All right, so now I'm going to go on to TNA Impact Wrestling. We had a nice little card here. We had Mustafa Ali, or Mustafa, that's how he wants it pronounced. He's going to smack me one day. Mustafa Ali. Sorry. My bad, bro. Versus Kevin Knight, and Ali gets the W. It was a pretty solid match. Pretty solid. Then we get Ashbot Elegance versus Angel Blue, and I have no idea who she is. So forgive me for that.
Doesn't matter.
Ash won. It sounded like it was a squash match.
It was.
Then we get a tag match, the Time Splitters versus the Good Hands, which I think that name for a team is hilarious. it's fucking great. But the Time Splitters get the W for that one. Then we get Dana Luna, which I always don't like that name, versus
Danny Luna. Danny?
Okay, still don't like it. Sounds horrible. And Masha Slamovich?
Yes.
Is she like Russian or something?
Yes.
That answers the question. Why didn't the Russian win?
Because Russia.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Russia should have won that one. But Luna gets the W. Then my boy PCO.
PCO is my favorite TNA wrestler.
Yo, I like part of me wants to say just walk away. But
why? Because why is he doing it?
I don't know. But it was PCO versus Allen Angels, and PCO got the W. Man. I want to be like him when I grow up. I don't think he can legitimately feel pain.
It's crazy. Like some of the stuff he just does. And it looks like it hurts. And he's not a small guy and he's old. And then he just gets up and keeps going like nothing happened. Gross. Like that's the crazy.
Do either one of y'all know how old he is?
No clue. Okay. I don't even think
he's gotta be in his mid-50s at least. Like he's
Pierre Carl Quillette.
Yeah. How old is he?
He is 56.
God damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I saw him. It was one show, I think maybe like a month ago. He did, he basically swanton bombed the floor. Like he jumped off the top rope. Like the person moved, he just went flat. And then he got up. I was like, how did I shatter a hip or something?
I shattered my hip by you just saying that.
Yeah. I'm starting to believe. He has the most believable gimmick in wrestling. He's not human. He can't be.
He's not possible. No, it's not. He was part of the Quebecers. That's what makes it even weirder. It's like,
yes!
Where did you come up with this? Where did you come up with this? Because it's beautiful. So then we in the main event, we get Josh Alexander versus Dirty Dango. Very enjoyable match. I love Josh Alexander. Just amazing talent. Poor guy wanting to leave and getting forced back in. And Dirty Dango is also somebody that's a pretty cool dude, too. Like, very chill. I got to actually meet him once. Pretty cool guy. Great wrestler. Great match. Josh Alexander gets the W. Well-deserved, and a good impact. So now we're going to move on to SmackDown. It's your turn, buddy.
Yay. All right, SmackDown opens up with, Jesus Christ, Logan Paul. And we find out that Prime is now the center ring sponsor for... I dislike you. I don't like you anymore. Like we can't. I don't even want to talk to you. I'm offended that we share oxygen. Just know that right now.
I'm sorry, Corey. I'm sorry.
Can, all right, now, any Anywho, despite your lack of good choice in drinks, is this only for PLE events, or is this going to be like on SmackDown on everything?
PLE, just PLEs.
Okay, yeah. Just PLEs. I can handle that. He brings out KSI. It didn't really feel needed, but I mean, I get it. You're part of Prime. Randy Orton's music plays. Logan Paul hops out of the ring, leaves good old KSI to eat a RKO.
Yo, the way, I'm sorry, that whole segment was beautiful.
It was very well done.
Dude, like, I have to give it to KSI.
He ate that shit beautifully.
He did. Took it like a champ. Like, the whole thing, like, seeing Logan on the outside saying, "Aw," that look on his face, like.
Yeah, that look on his face, like, "Aw, man."
Like, I could have stopped that, but I didn't. This like wasn't this despite this being Logan Paul, this wasn't bad. This is cool to see WWE get more sponsors and stuff like that. This took us into our first match of the evening, which was KO and Randy Orton versus Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I like tag team wrestling. This was awesome to see. It was good all the way around. As a match, without what happened at the end of it, I give it a solid 2.5 axe handles.
I give it 3 because of what happened at the end.
Logan Paul interfering after Randy Orton and Kevin Owens pick up the victory. You knew this was going to happen. Of course, Logan Paul, anything gets a -1 million from me.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a triple threat.
I think we will.
Yeah, I think
that's
where
you guys think triple threat?
I think triple threat.
At the moment, yes. Because what? So anybody else that's on SmackDown is kind of busy.
Yeah.
LA Knight and AJ are busy.
Right.
I mean, there is like a few other people you could have a multi-man match, but right now it's looking triple threat.
A triple threat I would like to see, though. I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
No, that'd be solid.
This leads us backstage with a sit-down promo with Bayley, explaining that she's going to use Damage Control's turning on her as motivation to just dominate their match at WrestleMania. This was good storytelling in my mind. Like, this was really good storytelling. It felt like this is the start of like how Jey Uso had to fight for his redemption because of you seeing Naomi in a different scene feeling bad for her and Bianca Belair trying to be like, you know, she did this to herself, kind of like how everybody did to Jey Uso.
Yeah, and like she's not wrong.
No, she's
I wouldn't forgive her either. Damage Control's been beating her ass since they formed.
The day that they came back, they've been beating on that poor.
So hell yeah. So Bianca should be like, nah, fuck her.
Bianca Belair was right. You know, Naomi hasn't been around for the past, you know, what, going on 3 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
Two, three, yeah, something like that.
So yeah, I guess she kind of missed out on the Damage Control angle, so. Yeah, you might have to pay attention to somebody who's been around for a little bit.
Yeah.
I like the way she walked off. I said what I said.
That was perfect for me. Like I said, this was good storytelling in my mind.
Yeah, it was. It was a great segment around with the Bayley thing and then that at the end. That was amazing.
Yeah. From there we go to, I had to write my notes down. Lashley versus Karrion Kross. This was a good match-ish. I could have done without the extra long beatdown at the end. It felt so drug out to me. You get AOP that causes the DQ right off the bat. Of course, the Street Profits are going to come out for the save. I just it it for some reason, it felt extra long to me.
You know what my favorite part was?
The what Queen was your Ratchet favorite part?
Versus the Snowflake.
Yeah, that's right. B-Fab slapping the dog shit out of Scarlet.
Yeah, she did.
I'm just letting you know, that reminded me of, like, what happened. So, it reminded me of my mom.
I'm not saying
that anything. that was a parent slap, wasn't it?
Dude, like coming out of nowhere. It was.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you say something to my kid?
Yeah, that was.
Okay, for me, this is gonna sound horrible. For me, it kind of felt like that was kind of the start of what they've been doing for the past month. It felt like the starting point more than ending or a continuation. Yeah. It felt like this was their opportunity to really get the ball rolling. So this is why I enjoyed it on a different level.
Okay.
It had that feeling to me. Just because now you have, it's equal. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Now that B-Fab is there, I feel like now we like getting down to business.
The odds are even.
Yeah.
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 So this has got to be leading to an 8-person tag of some sort.
Or a 3-3 with the ladies
being as managers.
Yeah.
Well, I think they did 3-on-3 already. I think we've seen that already.
Well, I guess we're running it back.
Yeah. We're running it back. Making sure that the women are involved.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad match, like I said. But
I gave it two.
After that, we get a backstage segment where, of course, I'm going to butcher their name, Legado del Fantasma. Fantasma.
Oh, you said that pretty good, actually.
Yeah, you did. The very beginning is on point.
And that's the hard part, I feel like. The Legado part?
Yeah,
that's
it is.
The hard
part.
Well, Legado del Fantasma. We find out that they're more of a bully than we already knew they were, bullying Dragon Lee backstage.
Oh, yeah.
They bullied the dog shit out of that man. It was a good segment. Of course, we know later in the night we get Angel versus Dragon Lee, that was advertised last week on SmackDown. That leads us into everybody's favorite, Tiffany Stratton versus Meechan. This was a good match in my mind, but it was awkward for me to watch. I like Meechan, but I feel like, and I don't want to take anything away from her, I feel like Tiffany Stratton is just got a rocket strapped to her back, and I feel like she just kind of out wrestled Meechan for sure in this.
I can see that. I can see that, like, Meechan gave her a lot and put her over, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
So I kind of have to give some credit there to Meechan, because I'm pretty sure she was probably the lead in the match.
More than likely. And I don't want to take anything away from her.
So I feel like she just gave a lot just because she probably sees what all of us see.
Yeah,
absolutely. She
is like a crazy specimen.
She's got the best handspring back elbow I've ever seen. She's the only person I've ever seen do it, and it actually looks like an offensive move.
Yeah, because
it's pretty, and that shit looks like it hurts, like it's supposed to.
I'm pretty sure Liv Morgan does it, but I feel like Liv Morgan's just looks weird.
It's because when Tiffany hits it, where she stops and launches to the back elbow,
it's
not as close. Liv. So it's a little further away than anybody can do it. So it looks brutal because she's
exactly
into it.
She's like usually like
Olympic gold medalist, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So she's got.
Yeah, but I feel like, she puts the proper oomph on it where it looks like a ooh. Like, if that was Tiffany's finisher, I don't think we'd be mad, because it looks normally when you see people do it and it's just the thing they do. And it's like, okay,
But
she wins with an absolutely beautiful moonsault. I I thought Charlotte Flair had a beautiful one. Man, Tiffany's is just light years ahead.
Right? It's fucking amazing. Yeah. I want to see that.
I'm waiting for.
I would love
to see that. Next year, WrestleMania, I want it.
I support that.
I want that match. But I gave that one 3.5. So that was
I'm right there with you. I gave that a solid 3.5.
Yeah.
Next, we get a Lone Wolf AJ promo saying that he is phenomenal enough to take out LA Knight and put him in his place where he belongs. This was a good promo. What I learned from this, though, is that LA Knight with a chair is stronger than a TV. After you see AJ's promo, LA Knight is sitting there watching it and then proceeds to obliterate a TV with a chair.
Coming out of his paycheck.
Yeah. Totally coming out of his paycheck.
Yeah.
We knew this match was coming. We knew it was more than likely to be a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
It's got to remember, this man went halfway across the world.
That's what I'm saying. You flew.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
That is some extreme hatred.
Yes. What is it, like a 26-hour flight?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just to smack man with a chair.
That's just the land in Australia. Then you got like another like 10-15 hour drive to get to Perth.
Perth doesn't have an airport?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think they did. Drive
a distance.
Did they?
Yeah. Like after they
sucks.
They had to drive a distance from the airport.
Australia's hot. I don't know if I could do that.
Right.
But this is gonna be a good match at Mania, I think. I'm kind of excited to see where this build goes. After that, we lead into Angel and Dragon Lee. This was an awesome match to sit down and watch.
I love just Dragon Lee.
Two people,
I love fucking Dragon Lee.
Just two people who can get in the ring and just look so fluent. Like, this was amazing.
Even with the botch with the power bomb. Even they were able to pull it off. Like, it was like, yeah, it's a mistake, but it still looks beautiful.
Yeah.
This was all around good fucking wrestling. I gave it a solid 3. You get Legado del Fantasma jumping Dragon Lee afterwards, of course. This is gonna be fun to see where it builds. I want more of this.
I do too. Definitely kind of see it. It's kind of cool seeing all the luchadores trying to kill each other. It's great.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they got their own little niche area right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Where when they're done with that, they can just go and do whatever with anybody. Mm-hmm. I want to see on the main roster?
What?
Legado del Fantasma versus the family.
Okay.
We got that in NXT, and it was
good. Yeah, they could run it back. Was a
really good story.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
I mean, ended up with the family being on top, and Legado del Fantasma actually joining the family.
Mm.
Had to like be absolved in the family, and they were like this huge ass group. And you know, of course, at first it was one of those. They were fighting still, like still butting heads.
Yeah.
And eventually, they actually like got along, and then it was just the storyline got so fucking crazy. Tony D went to jail. It was fucking great. It was great. But continue. My bad.
Now we get the longest segment of the night, just because of entrances alone. We get the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes and Seth giving their answer to the Night One Challenge at WrestleMania. Roman, of course, coming out first. Then you get The Rock with a new entrance. Let's point out that new Titantron that looked awesome. Dude,
the entrance was badass.
I would have probably saved something like that for a Mania, but if you're going to do that for a SmackDown, what are you going to do at Mania?
Like, right. Oh, he's gonna go. It's gonna be fucking nuts. You know, it's gonna be nuts.
Oh, exactly.
I can't wait to see that stage.
Oh, that stadium's gonna look awesome.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you get Cody and Seth, who somehow magically snuck out of their room past all of the security guards.
That was my favorite part. Nick called the way, in the too. Office, and he's like, where are the... And the security's just like, whoa.
That is witchcraft voodoo if I've ever seen it in my entire life. I love it.
Look, we have to put in perspective that when everybody walked into the building, there was security waiting for them.
Yeah.
Everybody walked in the building that was involved in that segment had security about like behind them.
So the story I want to go with personally is Cody and Seth opened up an air vent and climbed through the air duct.
You know what? That's better than what I had in my head, so I'm going with that too.
Okay.
I was just gonna say there was a door in the other end.
That's the most logical way. There was a second way into the dressing room, but exactly. I like the air ducts better.
Like, I was gonna say they removed the toilet and somehow dug a hole, and it would have been a whole ordeal. This ain't Prison Break. Anywho, of course you get The Rock and Roman with the new "Acknowledge Us" instead of "Acknowledge Me." That is interesting. I bet that's going to be a shirt here soon. Of course, out comes Cody and Seth. Instead of down the ramp, they come out through the crowd. That was cool to see. We get all four of them in the ring. An abundant amount of security guards around the ring. Of course, we all know how WWE security goes. They ain't worshiping.
Those poor bastards.
I'm going to completely ignore The Rock's vest that was also very horrid, but I just want to take a side step to say that seeing The Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth with the way Seth was dressed, this looked like two jocks and the rich kid about to buy drugs from a weirdo.
Seth being the weirdo?
Seth being the weirdo. It just looked awkward, and every one of his outfits look awkward, so I don't hold it against him. Cody, of course, saying that despite the animosity between them, it is cool and interesting to see all four of them in the same ring at the same time. They should take a moment to enjoy this. And then, of course, you get The Rock being a dickhead and interrupting it. I like how we had The Rock interrupt Cody, Seth interrupt The Rock, and then Roman interrupt Seth. That to me was interesting to see. I liked it a lot. Of course,
my favorite part of that is Seth telling Dwayne that he hasn't been relevant since. What did he say?
What?
Oh God! What did he say exactly? Basically, he's just saying he wasn't relevant.
Yeah.
And to basically shut up.
Oh, what did he call him? He called him,
What did he call him? Dang it. It's like on the tip of my tongue.
I totally wrote it down too. Where did I write it down at?
What did he call him?
But regardless, I like the fact that Seth said, you know, you had your time. You can't have ours.
Yeah.
Mr. Midlife Crisis.
That's what it was.
Seth telling The Rock, you know, you had your time. This is our time. You can't have ours. Pretty much sit down, shut the fuck up, and know your fucking role. I like
it. I liked it too. I like how he started it off too. Yeah. And he was just like, oh my God, will you shut the hell up?
Exactly.
I just think it's how you're talking.
Yeah. I just like that.
Then you get Rock and Seth face to face, and Seth screams to The Rock that, yes, we accept your challenge. That's when you get Roman, who cuts off Seth and says, you're going to let this man speak for you. This man's making your life decision right now, and you're going to let this happen. That shows what kind of man you are. Cody, of course, goes into a rant about how he needed to do this, and then The Rock cuts him off again. Says that, you know, you have an older brother, you have an older sister, There's a 20-year gap between y'all because you were a mistake.
That was great.
And then we get the moment we all wanted. Cody reached back like a pimp and slapped the fuck out of that hoe.
Yes, he did.
I absolutely loved seeing Cody slap the shit out of The Rock.
But the messed up part about it is what he said was deserved a slap. That's the messed up part about it. It was like, wow, like, you actually deserved that.
Oh, you totally did.
Oh,
Like I was talking to you about earlier, Damien, this is a situation where The Rock is okay talking about your family, but you're not allowed to talk about his family.
Right.
This is the one time that I wish the worlds would collide and the gates of heaven would open up and AEW allows us to have Dustin for 1 month. Give us 1 month with Dustin.
Just that would be nice.
Ringside with Cody and can. I want to see Dustin and The Rock just smack talk the shit out of each other.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be cool if they allowed it.
I agree. This once again was good storytelling in my mind. I like that it's building even more now. We know what's at stake for Cody if he loses. We know what happens if he wins. Of course, I feel like even if Cody beats The Rock and Roman on night one, the Bloodline will still get involved on night two.
Of course. That's what you mean. If they don't, I'm gonna be very upset.
I probably would too.
But Cody better lose. I need Cody to lose.
You need Cody to lose? Okay.
I want the world stacked against him. Like, I want it to be like,
oh, you mean lose on night one?
Yeah,
okay.
Lose on night one and just have the world stacked against him and get
I like
dub.
That.
Now, however,
yeah,
if he beats Rock, if they beat Rock and Roman on night one, I want Cody to lose on night
on two. Night two.
And then face him later on in the year.
He can't. The Rock said if he loses, the Rock said in the promo, he said, if you lose, I will make sure you never finish your story. That's it.
He did say that.
Yeah.
I mean, you still build around that.
No, you can't. Well, I mean, you can. You can, but then it gets all convoluted because The Rock would have to get kicked off the
money in the bank.
Exactly.
He'd have to.
Exactly.
That would make it so fucking.
See, here's the thing. The Rock said he would use his status as a board member to make sure Cody did not ever get a shot again. Meaning, he would just have him not even be able to qualify for Money in the Bank.
Exactly.
Do it in the mask.
He can't just jump in the mask. He must steal the brief.
That's our truth.
Oh. No, he can't put a mask on because of the neck tattoo. Everybody will still know. Never mind.
Exactly.
Right.
Kind of gives it away.
All right, he's got to beat him. He's got to beat him at night, too. But I'm just saying, if you could, I forgot about that. All right, whatever.
This all in all for me, like I said, was good storytelling. I think SmackDown as a whole was full of good storytelling tonight. As a whole, I give SmackDown a solid 3.5, somewhere in there.
I'm giving it a 3.5. It was a good build.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because I think everything had a purpose that's leading to something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still want to see Bianca versus Jade Cargill at WrestleMania.
Don't we all?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I feel like the what they're kind of building, like Bianca seems like she's getting a little too full of herself.
Yeah.
Like she's getting a little bit of a toot. I think it's
Heel Belair would be dope as shit in my mind.
Dude, Heel Belair when she was younger was actually, I took it for granted. I ain't gonna lie.
When she was younger, like it wasn't 3 years ago.
Right, like.
Dude, she has matured and has, like, changed from even the Mae Young.
Talking classic. About it was, like, back in 2000. Like, she's been around for 20 plus years already.
She seemed like she has. I seem like I've seen her grow up.
No, you're not wrong, though. Bianca Belair does seem like she's been around longer than she actually has.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Yeah, like I said, it's only been 3 years since she's really been a main fixture.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm talking about, like, when I first, but it when does. I first saw her in the Mae Young
Classic. Yeah, right? The Mae Young Classic. I think that I was
like, oh, she's talented, but I don't know if I'm, like, feeling it.
Yeah.
And then, like, she gets signed, and she's starting to do more and more, and it's like, oh, okay. And then, like I said, in NXT, you got a little bit of that heel Bianca Belair, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see that again. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it's probably not. I mean, you could do it right now, because she's kind of like, you know, she's done so much as a fucking babyface.
Yeah.
WrestleMania is back to back. A record reign. All well deserved. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, first black woman with Sasha Banks to main event of WrestleMania with a female black referee.
Yeah.
It was nuts. So I don't know. All in all, SmackDown has been great. Raw's been great. It's long, but it's been great.
Wrestling Dynamite is always been great around this time of the year.
Dynamite has been having some sprinkled in good stuff, and TNA is just always TNA. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, the one thing I did forget to put out there. So our boy Darby Allin. man, he's getting ready to climb Mount Everest.
Yes, he is.
Now, here's my question. Does this put his contract on hold, or is Tony letting him out of his contract? Like,
This puts his contract on hold. Now, me personally, I think it's crazy as fuck to allow your wrestler to just climb Mount Everest right, while he's still under contract.
Yeah.
Let him out the contract and let him go do his thing and then bring him back if he survives. I hope he survives.
Like, to me, that's if just he survives, insane.
Does this, he becomes the first wrestler to climb Mount Everest.
No, he does. I think.
Yeah.
Pro
wrestler?
Is that on? JBL didn't climb Everest, did he?
No.
No?
Okay. I can't remember. Because I know he was climbing, like, mountains and stuff for charity. I just don't know if that was one of them. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think he climbed
But Everest. He'll at least... But even if JBL did climb it, Darby would be the first active wrestler to do it.
Yeah.
It's still an accomplishment.
I don't know if I'd let him do that, though.
I mean, look, he let him jump off the top of a ladder inside of the ring onto real glass.
I understand that, and that's like a 50-50% chance of death.
This I thought he died. Like
100. This is like 95% chance of death.
I thought he died. I thought he died.
We all did, I think.
I saw that live, and you should have saw my face. But with that being said, Darby Allin.
Good luck.
Good luck, dude. I hope you get back safely and do the damn thing. Yeah, do it for yourself. I know that's what you're doing it for. Have fun. So with that being said, this is the end of the Villains Lounge. Thank you for, goddamn, hanging out with us for a grip. You know, I'll be back Monday, and I'll try to do some more. But I am getting ready to fly out to SNW. To do a Villains Lounge there on, the 15th of March. So,
yes, sir.
Keep an eye out for that. I'll also probably be doing a few other things while I'm traveling. So, be on the lookout for that. Also, now entering the ring, the debate show tomorrow. The next watch along will be WrestleMania tonight. And I'm driving to Houston, I believe, during that. So, I'll be watching and probably doing the watch along at the same time as me driving to Texas. So
you better let your wife drive.
She will be driving while I watch. I'm not trying to kill us.
Okay. But, hey, look, the way you made it sound like was like you're going to be recording it during your leg of the drive.
Oh no! No. I'm not Tony Khan, buddy. Don't.
Okay.
So, thanks for watching. Much appreciated. And we will see you later. And
welcome to the Villains Lounge.